Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going. This is Marnie. Welcome to another edition of Marnie's Friends. So excited to have you along with us this afternoon. We're going to be talking today about Pray, Eat, Live. And our special guest is Andrea Sharp. Andrea is an author, a speaker. She's actually one of our featured speakers over at womenspeakers.com. She's a life and health coach, and Andrea provides women with a comprehensive system, a support system that uses a 7-step coaching model. Her expertise, experience, and training empowers her to help women thrive, overcome obstacles, and live life abundantly. So we're so excited to have Andrea here today, and I'm going to welcome her on right now. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Marnie. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm excited to have you here on the air with us, and we're going to talk about one of my most recent favorite topics. I have all these favorite topics, you know, all over the place, but this one is one of my most recent favorite topics, and it's about eating with God. And the topic title we have for the show today is Pray, Eat, Live, and I'm so excited to talk about this whole concept of bringing God into this food part of our life, and it's just huge. It's really an epidemic in America right now. People eating more than their bodies can burn, I should say more than our bodies can burn, and we need to have a solution for it, and a lot of people have tried dieting. I certainly tried dieting for years and didn't find that that solved it. So I'm excited to talk to you today about how we can approach this dieting, and I even call it an undieting approach to working with the food that we're eating. So excited to have you.
Thank you, Marnie. I'm glad to be here.
And we are just going to launch right in. Now, everybody, if you haven't already done so, we have some call notes for you over at marniesfriends.com. You can download and follow along and take notes. We're going to actually be doing a demo after a little while of the Life Balance Wheel, and that's in the call notes. So you'll want to have that printed off or at least on your screen by the time that we get there. So just want to give you a heads up about that. Andrea, let's start out with the topic that everybody wants to know the answer to, and that's why is it true that so many people who start onto a diet and actually maybe even lose quite a lot of weight and are really excited about a certain way of eating and they're loving their new weight, they're loving their new way of eating, but then at some point they kind of fall backwards and go back to their old eating styles and gain back the weight and sometimes even more than they lost?
You know, that happens so many times, Marnie, and that's, I've been guilty of that myself. And I think a lot of it has to do with the lack of accountability, you know, just kind of that partner there with you, someone to motivate and encourage you and cheer you on. Life sometimes gets busy or life sometimes changes. Many times seasons come and go in our lives, and so that can kind of throw us off our game, so to speak, and throw us off our routine. But many times that motivator, that cheerleader, just proves to be such an important piece of losing weight and keeping it on. And sometimes people will jump right into the action stage, too, with no clear plan of how they want to get there or what they want to accomplish. And also maybe another thing is that people follow maybe someone else's plans or someone else's goals. I know I've been guilty of that sometimes, too, that I'll hear somebody else say something and I'll think, oh, yeah, that's for me. But what I've been finding out is that so many times, you know, God, not that this is unique, but God made us unique, and we are unique, and God has a special plan for us and how he wants us to proceed in eating well and staying healthy. And so it really needs to be individualized.
Absolutely. I think I always train the busy method, the best unique strategies for you, mm-hmm. where we don't just dive into doing whatever everybody else is doing. or right. we don't just dive in and with our eyes shut just kind of flounder around for a while, but that we really spend some time understanding what it is that God built us to do.
Right.
I always say when he strung together your 3 billion base pair of DNA, he did it in a certain way.
Mm.
And it's not a mistake that you think the way you do, that you behave the way you do. You are a finely tuned instrument, and just like a car was made to drive and a boat was made to drive on water and a plane was made to fly in the sky, you aren't going to be able to do it somebody else's way, and that's where it comes down to some of the stuff we're going to be talking about today. Now, I know, Andrew, you've actually just recently completed some additional health coach training, haven't you?
Yes. I'm working on that still, but I'm about
okay.
8 months in, and it's been quite a journey. So,
okay. And who is that with that you're doing the training with?
That's with healthcoaching.com.
Healthcoaching.com, and that's an organization that I've been a partner with on their global teleclass before, and I'll be doing that again later in the year. Wonderful organization that really has a unique approach to health coaching, and that's kind of why I have invited you. I get a lot of times, Andrea, I get a lot of pitches for gals who want to come on the show and talk about different eating systems and things like that, and most of the time I say no because I'm really not about that. I'm really about finding out what God would have you personally to do, and there would be maybe no two of us that would have the exact same plan in the end, that it would be very unique. And so when somebody tries to come on and talk about a particular way, that's great for a lot of people. But what my heart is that we eat with God. And I want to just talk about that for a moment. The title of the show today is Pray, Eat, Live. And you and I were discussing before we even came on the show earlier about the worshipful aspect of eating. And I think a lot of people have missed that. And in the years past, this didn't come to me until it was actually just 3 years, July 4th now this year, that I understood eating with God. But before that, I was doing a lot of other things with God. I was doing, when I would homeschool my kids, I was doing that with God. And when I would take on any kind of speaking engagement or any new ministry thing, I was doing that with God. And I was doing a lot of things with God, but I wasn't eating with God. I was just eating with me. You know, I mean, I'd have a little prayer before I started the meal faithfully, but then as I consumed the food, I was just shoveling bites into my mouth. And what I found is that when I began to eat with God, that I became very aware of how often I was simply just shoveling food into my mouth without even tasting it. And I went through, at that first little part there, when I was first starting, Andrea, I went through a season where the taste of food would sometimes bring tears to my eyes, that it was so delicious and that it was so amazing to be able to be eating it in a fully conscious state, being able to be grateful for every bite, being able to actually taste every bite without just swallowing it, being able to not feel guilty about the bites I was taking. There were so many things that were happening that were changing in me with the food thing that it was truly an amazing season for me when I first started eating with God. And I know that you were talking about that you sometimes have, you know, opted for that too, where you actually enjoy each bite with God. Just talk about your experience there a little bit.
Yes. Marnie, you know what? I love your way of doing the eating with God. And if your listeners haven't heard that yet, I encourage you to go and see Marnie's short YouTube video on eating with God. It's just, I love that. Pause and pray and enjoy. And I just love your concept of that. And as we were talking before, you know, so many times I've wanted to surrender my life to God, and I have, just like you said. You know, when you go out and speak, when you're raising your children, when you're honoring your husband, you know, whatever it is, we're looking as women to honor God and to bring him into every aspect of our lives. But like you, I hadn't considered that when it came to food. And I'm somebody that loves food as well. Anybody that knows me knows that I love food, and I enjoy it, and I like to eat it, and I enjoy the whole fellowship around it and everything. So just like you said, it's so important that when we eat, that it says in the Bible that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that we need to take care of our bodies just like we take care of other things in our lives, and we need to invite God in, like you said, to be thankful that he has given us that food, to invite God in and to really make that a worshipful experience when we eat. And I think that that really helps us to be more aware of what we're eating, how much we're intaking, and the kind of the theme throughout your eating with God is to be thankful.
It is. It is to be thankful and to recognize that each bite really truly is a gift. I think the other thing about, you know, letting God, recognizing that our body is the temple of God, that it really belongs to him, and it's his, even when I am not eating well, even when I'm making a choice that's not the best choice for my body, there is the ability to be grateful that God already knew I would be here before I got here. He's already forgiven it. Jesus died on the cross, you know, over 2,000 years ago now. He already, if it's not true that he's already paid for this sin, then it's not true that he's paid for any of my other sins either. If I'm consuming something against what's the best choice, then I just have to trust that Jesus is taking care of that. It allows me to, one of the things that Elizabeth Elliot talked about was if you do sin, then sin quick and cleanse quick. You know, I mean, if you do need to take a bite of something that you've already made a commitment before God, I'm not going to have that or whatever, then just cleanse quick and say, okay, I had it. I didn't mean to have it, or I wanted to not have it, but now I had it, and now I've got the consequences of that. But just cleanse quick and get back in relationship with God, and allow wherever you are today, and this is, I guess, the point I wanted to make, is wherever you are today, your body is the temple of God. Whether it's in great shape or really embarrassing shape, or wherever you are, your body still is the temple of God. And when I wrote all of those devotionals for Eating with God, and if you don't know where that is, just over at eatingwithgod.com, when I wrote all of those, Andrea, I was well over 230 pounds, and I hadn't seen any progress on that for a while. God gave them to me when I was very, very broken. And now, having lost over 50 pounds on my way down to where I'm going, I can just tell you that I was as much a vessel to God at that higher weight as I am today. I'm not more or less of a vessel to God. I'm just a vessel to God in a different shape.
That's so right. Exactly. Yes. And I think women... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Ahead.
I was just going to say, I think women need to really soak in on that no matter where you're at, that you are a vessel of God, and we don't have to get to a certain spot in order to be pleasing to him or to honor him, but we can begin that this very day in this very moment.
I think Joyce Myers has the book called Enjoying Where I Am on the Way to Where I'm Going, and that's what gratitude does. When we begin to take every bite and be grateful to God for that bite, not for the ones that we aren't supposed to have or the ones that we are supposed to have, just for the bite that's going into my mouth right now, to not even worry about the choice that's coming up. What happens is that over a period of time, as you're communicating with God, it's like an ice cube sitting in the sun. And pretty soon, a lot of those wrong thinking things just kind of melt away. And it doesn't have to be painful. It doesn't have to be harsh. It is just a gentle, natural progression that as you get closer to Jesus, you look more like Jesus, and that's just how it is. Okay, well, let's talk about one of the things that I loved about health coaching is that they have a system called client-directed coaching, and I'd like you to just define that for us. What is it?
Well, client-directed coaching is the belief that the client ultimately has the answers on what changes need to be made and what changes are required to succeed. And healthcoachtraining.com, and I need to back up and tell you, Marnie, that please tell your listeners as well, it's healthcoachtraining.com. So I want to clarify that it's they believe, and I'm learning wonderful things about this, is that it's better that people choose the steps that will lead them to their success rather than, as we discussed before, following another plan or being told what to do. So client-directed coaching is just that, the client directing the steps and taking the needed steps in order to accomplish the goal that they want to do.
And I just have to say, for those of you listening who are like, wow, that sounds really different than what I've ever done. Maybe you've joined Weight Watchers, or maybe you've done, you know, different things like that. We don't want to put those down. If that works for you, great. And if it's going to work for you, great. This is not about choosing a system or not choosing a system. It's about figuring out which is the best direction for you to approach it. And you may even find that changing what's going into your mouth isn't the place you start. I mean, Andrew, don't we sometimes find that the place someone starts is maybe with adding gentle exercise, or the place that someone starts is with just eating at home instead of eating out 2 days a week. You know, I mean, these changes may not be at all about diet in the first place, and by diet, I mean the actual food that's going into your mouth. They may be about something that's making you stressed out all the time, that's causing you to eat foods that you normally don't eat. So what happens with this client-directed coaching is that there's a coach that comes alongside of you and helps you to understand, first of all, what's the most important thing to you. And we're going to model this at the end of the hour here. We're going to model this here with a demo, so just hang in here. But what's the most important thing to you right now, and then how to proceed forward with that. And I love the client-directed coaching approach. I think it's really, from my perspective, it's the one that works with the subconscious. And in the Success Principles coach training, what I teach there is that you've got this subconscious monster going on. Your subconscious is able to process up to 20 million stimuli per second. I mean, this thing is monstrous. And then you have your conscious mind, which can process about 40 stimuli per second. So if you put these two in a boxing ring together, you've got this little tiny guy, this little shrimpy guy, and then you've got this monster, 40 compared to 20 million. And what happens is, when we don't do this unique way that's right for you, what happens is that we just kind of say, okay, consciously, I'm going to adopt this new eating plan. I'm going to lose 20 pounds, or however much it is you need to lose, and then I'm going to get on with my life. Well, the subconscious just quietly waits, because, you know, it doesn't want to beat you up too bad, so it just quietly waits, you know, keep the equilibrium. Okay, we'll let her go on this for a little while, but as soon as you get miserable, wow, that subconscious just takes right over and says, I know how to make you be calm again. All you have to do is eat some more of your favorite food. So off we go back the other direction. Whereas the client-directed coaching allows us to change the subconscious mind, which, once we have that driver behind us, then there's no stopping us, really. If our conscious and our subconscious are on the same page with something, then is when we're going to have good results. So I love that. There's another aspect of this coaching that I want us to touch on here. It's called pre-contemplative coaching. And I just love, and once again, because of how I understand that the subconscious works, I think it's the only way to make progress. So tell us about pre-contemplative coaching. What is that phase of coaching?
Well, that's one of the steps in a great book called Changing for Good. And there are 6 steps that they talked about in when you're making changes, and making changes for a permanent basis. And pre-contemplative basically is in the spot of, you really don't see that there's a problem. You see other people may have a problem. You really don't have ownership of the problem. It's kind of a denial stage. But the great thing about it is that many times that quickly moves into the contemplation. And that's when you realize that there is a problem, that there is a change I need to make, but I'm not really sure how to get there or what to do. And so both of those work together in getting a person motivated for change. And then there's the preparation and then the action. And so one of the things, as I said earlier, on the traditional dieting that so many people do is they jump straight into action without really going through the other steps, the pre-contemplation, the contemplation, and the preparation. And sometimes that sets us up for failure. And I know I've been very guilty of that myself. And so the book, Changing for Good, really helps kind of set forth those stages of where we're at, what we need to do, and how we need to move forward.
Again, I think it's really coming back to this getting the subconscious mind on board with the conscious mind. So my conscious mind can tell me to do anything, and what the subconscious is going to do is it's going to keep the equilibrium. You know, when you start to trip or fall, what happens is right away, just subconsciously, your hand just goes out or whatever. You change, you twist or you do something differently to prevent you from falling. The subconscious is always about maintaining equilibrium. It doesn't want things to get imbalanced. And when we dive right from how we're eating today right into this extreme change, then all of a sudden we go right to action without this pre-contemplation and this contemplation and the preparation. What happens is that it's too fast, it's too much. And just like when the subconscious doesn't allow you to fall, when all of a sudden you're doing something different, it won't allow you to succeed there unless you are actually ready for it. And, you know, when I used to manage health clubs when I was single, I managed some health clubs in Minneapolis. And I remember husbands asking me, you know, what can I do? How can I help my wife succeed here? And the answer was at that time, I don't know. All I know is that what I see is that everybody comes in with the same motivation. You know, just observing the gals coming and joining a health club. They come in, they're excited about it. They're ready to do it. They're committed to doing it. They show up faithfully. And then some of them stay faithful. And some of them don't. In fact, most of them don't.
Right.
So all I could say to the husbands at that point in my life was, I'm sorry, all I know is that there's a little click, there's a little switch inside of the head, and once that switch is flicked, they're going to succeed. And until that happens, they're not going to be able to stick with it. And I can't tell you where that switch is, and I can't tell you how to switch it on, but I can tell you that until it's switched on, they can try and try and try, but they won't succeed, even though they really want to. Well, now, you know, 30 years later, I can say, oh, I get it. I get where the switch is. The switch comes in this process of getting the subconscious mind on the same track as the conscious mind so that we can actually go forward. And this this client-directed coaching, this pre-contemplation, moving into contemplation is really helpful. Well, we're going to come right back and talk a little bit about the process of eating with God and how that actually works. We'll be right back.
The fastest and easiest way to find out which major women's events are coming to your area is to visit www.womensevents.info. That's womensevents.info. It's the only directory of its kind, and it features all of the major events like Women of Faith, Beth Moore, eConference Women, and so many others. It's free to search, and you can find it all at womensevents.info. Do you ever need speakers for dinners, retreats, conferences, or other women's events? Check out www.womenspeakers.com. It's the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world, featuring over 1,500 Christian women speakers, some near you, and some from every level of experience and fee range you can imagine. So you're sure to find lots of great speaker options for you and your next event over at www.womenspeakers.com. That's womenspeakers.com.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back to Marnie's Friends. This is Marnie, and our guest today is Andrea Sharp, and you can visit her website over at sharpwomen.com. And Andrea, you just got a little bit of a revamp to your website. It's awesome over there. And if you guys go and click on the health and life coaching, that's going to help you understand how to get a hold of Andrea if you need a life coach or a health coach. Right before break, we were talking about the pre-contemplative and the contemplative phases of making a change. And I skipped ahead a little bit, but I wanted to go back and just ask, you know, is there anywhere in the Bible where you see that this is spoken of, this pre-contemplative stage and the contemplative stage? And we don't have Andrea back. Andrea, can you hear us?
I'm here.
Okay, there we go. Okay, sorry. Now we can hear you. All right, that's okay.
I'm sorry. Throughout the Bible, Marnie, it seems that people are in pre-contemplative and contemplative stages. And, you know, I relate really well to Peter, and he is somebody that often speaks or often spoke before he would think about the consequences. And so Peter was somebody that jumped right into action many times and then kind of was wrestling and trying to figure out, you know, what he was doing. And so throughout the Bible, God gives us lessons on pre-contemplation and contemplation. People are in denial about, pre-contemplation is in denial, where they're in denial that they have no sin, that others are sinning but not them. They've got that finger pointed out and not really seeing themselves as that as well. And contemplation with knowing that there's a problem but don't really know how or what to do to fix it. So many people that follow Jesus and so many people that came to know the Lord and to follow God were in that contemplative stage where they knew that there was something more in life, but they didn't really know how to get there. And so throughout the Bible, I think that those are two good messages that are taught.
You know, I'm so glad that you brought up Peter, because he's one of my favorites for this. You know, you think back to the day
that... I like him.
Oh, you think back to the day that he thought, you know, okay, Jesus is walking on the water,
right,
and he's in the boat, and he's like, can I come out? Can I come out? And he's all gung-ho, just like, okay, you're ready to start on this new eating plan now, and you're all gung-ho like that, and you're like, let me walk on the water, and Jesus is like, yeah, sure. So he goes out, and he starts walking on the water, and then all of a sudden, what happens? You know, he hasn't really ever thought through walking on water before.
Right.
It's like, who would have? So he has this wonderful opportunity. He takes it, he goes out, and he's walking on the water, and it's amazing. He's actually literally walking on the water, but all of a sudden, he realizes that he is in no way able to walk on water.
Right.
But this is not something I'm equipped to do. I'm not mentally prepared for this. I am not in any way, shape, or form ready for this. I haven't had the training or whatever. And so what happens? He right away starts sinking because he's not thinking about Jesus anymore. Now he's thinking about what he cannot do.
Right, exactly. And he takes his eyes off of God.
Right. And he couldn't do it the whole time.
Right.
But because he took his eyes off Jesus, this is a wonderful reason to eat with God. Right. Of course we can't do it. That's the point, right? We've been trying and we couldn't do it. So that's why we had to keep our eyes on Jesus every bite. I love that. And then when you think about, you know, he walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus for 3 whole years, and he's with Jesus all the time, basically lived with Jesus, and he was with Jesus all the time, and he's watching Jesus, and he's hearing all the things Jesus is saying. Jesus is preparing them that soon he's going to have to die for the sins of the world, and Peter's with him the whole time. But just right before that final night of Jesus' life, they're having a dinner, and Jesus says to Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter says, no, not me. I would never do that. And Jesus says, well, yes, you will. And so Peter, even then, even though he'd been, you know, has the background now, has the, you know, has the training, has everything. And I want to speak to you right now. If you're listening to me and you are a discouraged dieter who's been trying and trying for years to get this, listen to Peter's story. He's been with Jesus in the flesh for 3 whole years, watching amazing miracles, watching Jesus raise people from the dead. And yet, the night of Jesus' crucifixion, when he was being taken away there, Peter denied him 3 times. Why? Because still, his subconscious mind was still Peter. He still wasn't very conformed to Jesus. Whatever stage you're at today with this eating thing, I just want you to know that there's hope for you. Mm. Don't give up just because you aren't perfect yet. That's okay. Peter was never in his entire lifetime perfect, and we will never be perfect either. But we can become more like Jesus. And how do we do that, Andrea? The best way is spend time with him, right?
That's right. That's right. Just spend that time with him in each and every corner of our lives, and that includes eating.
And when God gave me this eating with God thing, do you know how many bites you take every day? Some days I literally counted, and some days I ate over 100 bites. That's over 100 connection points with God. that I did not have before I was eating with God. And I want to just say right here, disclaimer, I still don't perfectly eat with God. I still miss all kinds of bites all the time. But let's say that out of a day that I had 56 bites, let's say that I spent 16 of those bites with God. Mm. Am I ahead or behind of when I'm not eating with God?
Mm. Way ahead.
Way ahead, right? I have 16 additional connection points with God through my day. So don't beat up on yourself. I mean, it's real. You've never done this before. You've never eaten with God before. Of course you're not going to be able to do it perfectly. And I just want to say that again. I've been doing this for 3 years, and I still don't do it perfectly. And I don't know if I'll ever do it perfectly. Sometimes I'll just find myself just shoveling food into my mouth still after 3 years. It's like, really? I know better than this. But you know what? Until my subconscious mind cannot even imagine doing it any other way, it's still going to be a process, and that's really okay. I want us to spend some time now on this life balance wheel. And once again, if you haven't downloaded the show notes, you want to do that because we've got a life balance wheel on there for you. But we're going to spend some time here because this is actually a huge part of what I do when I coach with people. Andrea, it's a huge part of what you do when you coach with people. And I really think that it's one of the best tools for helping us understand what to do next. And that's what, one of the things that you mentioned early in the contemplative stage. Now we're saying, I know I have a problem here, but it's way too big. I don't even know where to begin. So why don't you talk to us about the value of a balance wheel, and then we'll go ahead and do the demo, you and I.
Okay. You know, I just love this wheel. It, for me, Marnie, it was a real eye-opener. And so many times as women, we're going and we're ministering and we're having our careers and our families and stuff, and we feel maybe that there might be an area in our lives that are lacking, but we just continue on with our busy day and never really stop to think about it, subconsciously as well as consciously. And so I love this wheel because this life balance wheel is a great way for us to see what areas, it's just a great visual to see what areas we're short on, what areas we're doing great in, and what areas could be kind of improved. And so if you don't mind, I would love to do this life balance wheel with you and with your listeners. I encourage your listeners to participate with us. You're going to need a pencil or
right.
a pen
yeah.
to do this with us. And just it's a great, great eye-opener. It only takes quick 5 minutes, and but it's a real visual for us. So So, Marnie, I wanted to ask you first, do I have permission to coach you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And by the way, I want to just let you know that if you aren't at a place where you can download the notes and you're listening right now and you want to do this with someone, but you're like, I can't imagine what they're talking about. All you need to do is take any piece of paper and draw a circle on it and divide it into 8 sections. And that's all you need to do. And then you can track right along with us.
Great. Thank you, Marnie. That's a wonderful point. That's exactly right. And we're going to label each section or each wedge with a different title. So if you would start with me, Marnie, and listeners, if you can, to label the first top wedge, family relationships.
Okay, family and relationships. And I'm going to be writing these down, as you guys are too, so we'll just have enough time to get these written. Family and relationships, okay?
All right. And then the one underneath that is personal finances.
Okay, so the top, kind of in the 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock spot, personal finances, okay?
Yes, correct. And the 3, 4 o'clock would be spiritual growth.
Okay.
And then down
spiritual,
about
just
five.
Hang on. Spiritual growth. Okay, 5 to 6 p.m.
Okay, and then the next one is stress management.
Stress?
Something that's always
management.
Dear and near to our hearts as women.
And actually, I'm going to have you go back and repeat these just a moment, and then I'm going to share something as people are catching up with us. Okay, the top one was family and relationships.
Yep.
Okay,
the
second
next one is personal finances.
Yep.
And then spiritual growth underneath that.
Okay, and the bottom one was stress management. And I want to just
correct.
Make a point here while we wait for people to catch up with us a little bit, is that one of the things I like to do with this wheel is once I determine, and we're going to show you in a minute how to determine where your pain points are, once I determine where my pain points are, I'll make an entirely separate wheel, and I'll dissect that part of my life down into 8 more eight more smaller zones. So let's say spiritual growth. So I would have daily time with God. I would have scripture memorization. I would have prayer. I would have witnessing. I would have attending church or doing a Bible study. You know, all these different things. And then I would go down into that zone, and I would say, you know, where's the problem? You know, where's the problem? Okay, so this is a great top level one. Okay, so we've got the right side of the thing. Let's start with the bottom left, kind of the 7 to 8 o'clock one.
Okay, that is time management.
Okay.
And the one above that is quality of sleep.
Quality of sleep. Okay.
Which every woman can relate to. Above that is physical activity.
Okay. All right, physical activity.
And the last one, Marnie, I left blank because I wanted to see if there's a category that we haven't added that you would like to put in there, or any of these areas that don't resonate with you that you'd like to change out.
Well, I think that if it was just me by myself, I might put my businesses here, the ministry, and I do business/ministry for me, because everything I do in my life is ministry, so whether it's a business or whatever. But I think that for today's program, since we're talking about food and about eating in particular, I think the food management side might be the one that I want to put in there for today. So let's go food management for today. Yeah. Okay. All right. So on that left side, from 6 to 7, we have time management. From 7 to 9, we have quality of sleep. Then from 9 to 11, physical activity. And the top one is food management. And for those of you who are still scrambling to get a piece of paper, I'm just going to review these one more time. Top right, family and relationships is the top right. Then the 2 to 3, personal finances. 3 to 4, spiritual growth. 5 to 6, stress management. 6 to 7, time management. 8 to 9, quality of sleep. 9 to 10, physical activity. And the top one, top left, is food management. And by the way, too, Andrea, I know for me, I usually do like a 12 one because I just have too many sections. So, you know, you can always just make your own wheel and divide it up however you want. I mean, there's nothing sacred about 8. So, okay.
That's all right. And just for your listeners' information, too, Marnie, the reason we had these are just kind of all broad-based topics. And so that cover different aspects and cover different parts of our lives. It's kind of a rounded out wheel. But you're exactly right. As listeners go, when you see a pain point, that's a great tip that you gave them in order to take that pain point and then dissect it into 8 or 10, whatever categories that you have. And thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And then for those of you who are just creating this on a piece of paper, we want you to make now a center circle in the middle, like kind of you would think of the hub of a wheel, a little center hub. And then make 4 lines out so that you go pain. You're gonna go from the center out. The first line will be like a 2. The second line will be like a 4. The third line will be 6. And the fourth line will be an 8. And then you would have like your outside rim would be your 10. So
right.
You'd start at a big 0 in the middle, and then you'd go out to 10. Yeah. Okay. So let's just assume that you're working on the one we sent you, and we'll keep going.
Right, and so that's exactly right. You think of the middle of the wheel as 0, and then moving out toward the edges would be 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. The middle would be 5, and the outer edge is a 10. And the higher the number, the better you're doing in that area.
More balanced.
Okay, yes, that's right. So with each section of the wheel, we're going to go around it. Marnie, and if you wouldn't mind sharing with me, I would like you to rate your level of personal satisfaction in each area. Mm-hmm. And so for your listeners, you're just going to go ahead and do this. We'll start with family and relationships. And if you wouldn't mind just marking a dot on where you're at in that spectrum.
Okay. And should I share it with you too?
Yeah, if you'd like to, that'd be great.
Sure. I think with family and relationships, I'm probably a 9.5. I just really... really blessed there.
All right, great. And how about personal finances?
Okay, and when I'm doing this, you guys, I actually make like my own line across there. Like imagine filling in that pie slice to that level. That's kind of how I think of it. I don't fill it all in, but I make a line across like at
right.
a 9. You know, and you
or
might
even
be going,
a dot.
Oh, yeah, right. And you might be going, oh, I'm a 2. I'm such a loser. Don't do that to yourself.
This is not a guilt session.
No, and we're all at different places on different days. I mean, another day you might ask me in that area, and I might say, wow, you know, feeling really bad about that right now. So just now, so much peace there. Okay, personal
right.
finances.
Can I piggyback on that for a second, Marnie?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just real quick, I was speaking with a client last night, and, you know, one of the things she said was she was talking about peer relationships, and that was something that we added on to her goals and things. And so, you know, she just really felt a lot of guilt about that. And I want to encourage you, I'm going to encourage your readers that God doesn't want us to live in guilt. He wants us to live in giving and changing and moving forward. And he brings things to our life to make us aware of it, but we don't need to stay in that place of guilt. We need to move and make positive steps in
right.
the right direction.
Right, so. Absolutely. Okay, well, let's go to personal finances.
Personal finances.
And for this one, I just have to do the busy thing, the best unique strategy for me.
Oh, I love
this
it.
One is to divide that into two halves. So this particular spoke of my wheel, I'm actually dividing into two halves. I'm going to put on the upper half, I'm going to put my reality about personal finances, which I'm going to put at about a 4. Compared to where we were before the recession 4 years ago, I'm at about a 4. I would have said then I was like at 11. We were doing great. And now the recession has hit our businesses extremely hard. It's hit our ministries hard. And we're at about a 4 as far as our reality there. But I'm going to tell you that my personal satisfaction level is probably at about an 8. Feeling pretty peaceful and calm there. It's something that I talk to God a lot about again these days. For a while there, God, you know, didn't get a lot of my attention on that front because he just had it covered without, you know, me needing to do it daily. But right now, that's I'm spending a lot of time there.
Thank you for sharing that. Yes, I think we can all relate to that.
Yeah, probably a lot of people can.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, spiritual growth. How satisfied are you in the area of spiritual growth, your time with God, learning his word?
I think that right now I'd have to say I'm like at a 9.5 again, just really, really great. I've just come through some seasons of fasting and prayer even, and just seeing God work everywhere and really, really tight, close with God. So love that, yeah.
Thank you. And stress management is our next one. And this is how well you manage stress.
Yeah, I think I'm probably 9.5 there. Just you know, not perfect, but lots of stress all the time, all around me, and that's something I'm kind of. that would define my life a lot of times. And you know, a lot of people train people, Andrea. A lot of coaches train you that, you know, if you have stressful people in your life or if you have stresses in your life, you got to get away from those. And I just don't see that at all. I mean, there are times for that. Absolutely, I agree that there are times for that. But my life, it would be defined by most people as incredible. Stressful, and I just see God just carry me through it all the time. And I think about those poor people in, you know, concentration camps or something that couldn't get away from it. And it's like, you know, they just had to learn to, you know, get through it. And I think that sometimes we're kind of wimps about that. So I think I have a lot of stress, and I think God's carrying me good.
Yes, He is faithful. All right, time management. How satisfied are you with how you manage time?
Yeah, I think that's good for me too. About a 9.5, just able to say no to what isn't on the agenda with God and me, and able to say yes to God every time, yes to whatever He's asking me to do. Sometimes that means I have to say no to a person, but I can say yes to God every time.
All right, and quality of sleep is the next one.
You know, I have to give that one a 10. I just don't know if I could sleep any better than I do.
Awesome. I love to hear that.
I just crawl in bed every night and I'm out like, you know, when our babies were little, Dave would hear them cry, not me. I am just a sound sleeper. I'm blessed with that. Terribly
that is
blessed.
Very much a blessing.
It is. I get it.
And how satisfied are you with physical activity that you get?
Boy, right now I'd have to say that that's at a 10. I don't know if I could be, you know, more satisfied with that. I swim 3 days a week in the mornings with Dave, and then I've been going almost every day, except I, you know, take a Sunday off, of course, and if I have to work on Sunday, I take a different day as a day of rest. So sometimes up to 2 or 3 days a week off. I also go and do a natural runner, an elliptical, and my heel has been a problem, but God's just healing that right now. It's just so fun to walk that out. And so right now, yeah, that's at about a 10. I can't imagine adding any more to it right now.
All right. And our last one is food management. And how satisfied are you with that?
And I'm going to say I'm probably at about a 7.5 or 8, so I'm going to get about a 7.75 there.
Okay.
Really, really loving how I'm eating these days. It's radically different than it was, 3 years ago. And 3 years ago, when I started eating with God, I was pretty determined that that meant that I would never have to change my eating habits. And that was fine. That was a good place for me to be because I could actually begin without any stress about that. But as I shared every bite with God or a lot of bites with God, as I went on, Andrea, what I found was that I would oftentimes during a bite, and especially a bite that was like, I'm not even hungry, I'm eating something I know is not healthy for me, but I really want to eat this right now. And as I was putting it in my mouth and really truly enjoying the taste of the bite, they are good. I would just be saying, God, I don't even want to keep doing this, but I don't really know how to stop, so teach me how to eat. And that was a prayer that I prayed a lot with many, many bites, and mostly I would pray that prayer when I was eating a bite that wasn't very healthy for me or that was at a time when I was already stuffed full of other food, good food. And what happened was that's what I see that he has done. He has truly been changing my mind. And I've been eating with God for 3 years now, so this did not happen overnight. This was a very gradual change, but really a wonderful change. Can't imagine going back.
And that's the change that sticks, Marnie. That gradual, mind-changing, life-changing structure and change. That's the kind that sticks. And
I wanted to ask you, too, if you're listening and you're like, 3 years, I could never wait 3 years to get my goal weight. Well, you don't have to. You may be able to go to your goal weight much faster than that and then take a while after you get there to cement these things in. For me, I just had a really lot of weight to lose, almost 100 pounds. And so for me to just go toward 100 pounds was way too big. I just couldn't even get myself to take more than a few steps and I'd trip and fall. So this was a way for me to do it. And again, best unique strategy for you as you're listening to us. Don't get discouraged or don't think you have to do it the way I did it or the way Andrea does it. But this system works with however it is that you choose will be the best for you. And really, I agree with Andrea the client directed coaching knows that you already know because you're built that way. You've been living with you your whole life so far. You know you very well, better than you think you do.
Right. That's exactly right. And within each one of us, we have the answers for our own success.
Right. You know? I think God's really built it into our DNA.
That's right.
Okay, what's the next step?
All right. Now, Marnie and listeners, what I'd like you to do is connect those dots that you have made and draw a wheel within the wheel, basically. So you're going to connect your dots and draw a wheel within the wheel.
And what we see is that we are not having a smooth ride. A few little, mine isn't quite a flat tire at all anywhere, but you know, I've got a real divot on one side.
So if this, Marnie, was a wheel on your car, how smooth would that ride be?
Yeah, not too bad, but it's just not good, yeah.
Yeah, you know, really, and you really are very, very balanced for the most part. But this is such a great visual to show us that when one area of our lives is out of balance, it really does affect those other areas as well, you know. And so in looking at this, I would like you to choose one of the areas you'd like to focus on today and what you'd like to accomplish. And
if you and I were doing this personally, I'd definitely go over to the personal finances, but for the sake of the audience today who came for Pray, Eat, Live, let's go ahead with food management. And let's go ahead there. And by the way, I wanted to say to those of you who are listening in there, you're like, you know, you were listening to my scores and you're like, I can't even relate to her. Just know that a few years ago when I did this when I did this wheel for the first time, my wheel didn't look anything like it looks today. My wheel was very, very imbalanced. And doing this for the first time for me helped me identify. It's really the contemplative stage. This wheel is the contemplative stage where now I know I have a problem. I maybe still don't know how to solve it, but at least I know where my problem points are. A lot of you listening are like, you know, my whole life is out of balance. What should I do? And we're going to talk about that a little bit too, but we've only got 10 minutes left, so we're going to talk fast. Okay,
right.
Let's go ahead and dive right into the food management one.
All right. So what would you like to accomplish with your goal today, Marnie?
You know what's been a really, and I was thinking about this ahead of time because I really like the foods that are going into my mouth now. I like what I'm eating is so much healthier. I think that when I started eating with God, I was eating about 90% non-nutritive foods and about 10% of like green vegetables and fruit. I was really consuming almost everything I ate was for pleasure and or for habit, like just, you know, and I even wrote a cookbook about, you know, how to get it on the table fast, making it from scratch. So I really felt like I was eating well. But when I compared it to eating like foods that were high in nutrition, I realized that I wasn't. And so right now I would say that I'm probably eating, you know, 80-20 or 90-10 nutritious foods compared to foods that are just for pleasure, just fun foods. So I'm really happy with that. I like how I'm eating, which is with God. I like how often I'm eating and how much I'm eating. So those things are doing great for me right now. What I've got a couple struggles left. One of them is that I really love to cook. And a lot of the ways that I knew how to cook before don't work with this new eating plan. And I find that I will look at a lot of recipes and rule them out because they have ingredients that I no longer, and for those of you who are listening, I know some of you can't even relate to this, that I'm going to say that I no longer even want to eat them. You know, a lot of people get grief for that. They say they can eat whatever they want, but then when you watch them eat, they eat very healthy. Like, they don't even eat the foods that you'd like to eat. And the fact is that they are eating what they want. Their mind has just changed so much about what they want that they truly do want that food now. They aren't kidding you. That truly is what they want to eat. And
right.
So that's where I am right now. So I look at a lot of recipes and I'm like, oh, well, I don't like most of the ingredients in it, or I don't want to have the ingredients in it or whatever. And it's a little discouraging to me to not be able to try a lot of new recipes and do that. I miss that part of my life and I'm still really not okay with it. So I'm going to say that that's my major pain point today.
Okay. And so do you think that eating those, what will that get you if you like to eat the foods that are more healthy versus that which is not in your, that which is in the cookbook? What do you think that would get you?
I guess I don't understand, and I'm wondering if maybe you didn't understand my concern. The concern is that I miss cooking. I really miss cooking, and I haven't been able to find recipes that I want to cook. And I miss that. I just miss it.
Right. So do you think that possibly there could be a modification where some days you could and then other days you didn't? Would that be a possibility?
Well, it could be. Right now, I'm mostly just not.
Yeah.
I'm mostly just using the same, like, 10 recipes I have that I like.
Yeah.
So I think maybe it feels boring.
Yeah. And have you checked out other recipe books and such?
Oh, I have. I've gone to libraries and I've gone to bookstores and I've gone online a lot. And most everything I make that's in this new way of eating, most everything I make I don't like. So my taste buds just aren't there yet, you know?
Right.
So then I've invested all this time and even ingredients, and then we throw it away.
Oh, bless
your heart. It's not like I haven't been trying.
Yeah.
I think it's just taking a while for my taste buds to catch up with my new lifestyle. And actually, the recipes I have, I truly love. I love. And so maybe my expectation is a little too high.
Right. Well, and what do you think's in the way of doing that? If the taste buds don't really enjoy the food, what about if you know, we talked about moderation or modification to it, maybe just some days cooking that way. And what about if you had a smaller plate or smaller portion or something like that, so where you're, or a combination of the new recipes and those that you really like? Would that be a possibility?
It might be. I think the reason that I haven't gone there yet is because when I reintroduce some of my old favorite things, I tend to still not be in a position to handle them easily. It takes a lot of mental energy, a lot of willpower to only have a little bit. I really want to eat like 1,000, you know, eat the entire pan or whatever.
Yes.
When I don't eat them, I feel like I have no need for them. My brain isn't thinking about them. It's very easy. And I have a lot of stress in the other areas of my life. I don't really care to add stress to the food area of my life. So what I've been finding successful is to just not have the foods that are still what I would put in parentheses, like, or in quotation marks, you know, problematic foods that I used to tend to binge on. I just have found it easier, almost like an alcoholic, easier just not to have one drop. It's just easier. And when I don't have a drop, when I don't have one of those foods, I'm just fine without them. I'm really totally fine. But as soon as I have even a little bit, I seem to, like, for 3 or 4 days, even maybe 2 or 3 days, tend to really want, like, a lot more.
Right.
So that's why I haven't gone that way. So I just haven't found quite the right way yet.
And how long have you been doing this, Marnie?
Well, I've been eating with God for 3 years, but I'd say that the majority of the eating changes came at New Year's of this year. And it was just by accident that I was at New Year's, but my husband decided that was when we were going to go on a detox together, and that was amazing. He's never dieted in his whole life, and so he picked this very healthy detox, and after that, I just really hadn't been eating those other foods for 6 weeks, and I really found that I didn't need them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when the was.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, we have 3 minutes left, and then we're actually really have to go off the air. So we need to kind of bring this down to a conclusion here, and I don't know how we can do that quickly.
All right, well, we're going to do it quick.
Okay.
So what's a step, a baby step that you could take this next week that you would not fail on, that you would be successful on, and that you would have support to do in this area?
Well, I guess I could just look for one more recipe. If I just said I don't have to find a lot of recipes, I just need to really find one recipe, and maybe I could even commit to a main dish recipe, because that's really what I kind of wish I had a few more of. So maybe I'll look for one main dish recipe that I can really truly love.
Mm.
Love to cook, love for me, love for health, love to serve.
Mm.
And I wonder how long... I bet I would only need to spend, I bet I could do that in 30 minutes. I bet I could actually find one I liked in 30 minutes. I suppose I've only ever given it 5 minutes or 10 minutes in the past.
Oh, that'd be great. And then would you let me know that you have done that?
Sure.
Would you mind emailing me and letting me know? And when do you think you'll do that this week? Another
recipe. Not until next week.
Next week.
Yeah, it's going to have to be the beginning of next week, because I'm working double shifts here for the next few days. But I think that probably by Tuesday I could do it.
All right, good. So we need to sit down. You need to sit down and give yourself a 30-minute block so you can find a food that you love, that you enjoy, that you'll bless your family with and relish, and it'll taste good.
That will make me so happy. I'm not saying that because we're on the air. That will truly make me so happy, and I don't know why I couldn't think of that myself. You guys, okay. So we didn't do this on purpose. This is just how it ends up. We got 1 minute left on the air here, and I just want to tell you that this is the beauty of having a coach, something that you already maybe knew that you could do. Like, I knew I could sit for 30 minutes and look for that one recipe, but I've just not done it yet. But somebody that's going to help you identify what you can do, help you hold your feet to the fire to actually think to do, that you already know you want to do. It's a small enough step that you know you can succeed. And number four, somebody to celebrate with you when you do. Andrea, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, and you guys can learn more about Andrea over at her website, sharpwomen.com. www.marnieandonna.com. Check her out. Thank you for being here. I hope that you gained something. I sure did. I'm going to go find my recipe. At least next week I'm going to. Right now I have to dash off and go work at the retail store. So I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day, a wonderful week, and we'll see you here next time. By the way, I'll share my recipe with you next week. Okay, come back.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.